and welcome to Wine with Meg and Mel. We're here to help you navigate the world of wine. I'm Mel Gilchrist. I've thrown myself introducing myself.
And we're here to navigate the world of wine.
And you are Meg Brotman, and you're a master of wine. There we go. We got there. Do you know what? I'm just too excited because we are doing Etna today.
God.
Finally. Oh, my God. It's like, so cool.
It is cool. So we are doing Etna today. Mel's been looking forward to this for, I reckon a year we've been talking about it, and we haven't actually got round to doing it. So here we are doing Etna.
Now, we kind of said it in the last episode, but I'll say it again. The thing is, Etna's been really cool in wine for a couple of years. It's been this kind of, I don't know, like the cool region that everyone is obsessing over.
Why is that?
Well, White Lotus came after that, so it was big in wine.
Yes.
But then White Lotus went to, what is the city?
They were in Sicily.
Sicily. So they went to Sicily for White Lotus.
And they went to the winery and talked about the Etna
wine. So now all of a sudden consumers are interested.
It just explodes.
In Etna wine as well, which is kind of like good because we like to share, but then also bad because prices went up.
And then they had an outbreak because of the terrible weather last year. And so their production is really, really low. They've lost a lot of crop. So it's a region that if you see it anywhere between $60 and $100, buy it now because I imagine it's going to just go through the roof. And we had an Etna Bianco after we had Andrew Shedden on our episode.
Yeah, we had him
on. I bought it for Christmas, and my brother-in-law's mum basically, I think, went and wiped her Dan's store out of the entire, and it's now become her drink du jour. She doesn't drink a lot, but when she opens,
that's not that cheap.
No, it's not cheap.
Must
because,
be nice.
Because she doesn't drink a lot, and she's she's quite wealthy. She can afford to do it.
Yeah. Well, look, it's good stuff. So I'm keen to get into it, and I hope everyone's going to enjoy listening about it and go buy it themselves because it rocks. But first, Meg, what have you been drinking?
What have I been drinking? I've actually taken a photograph so I remember the name. Domaine La Lurie Rivage Blanc IGP Coteau du Narbonne.
Jesus.
So Coteau du Narbonne, all the Domaine La Lurie, it's from the Prince Wine Store. It's kind of a blend of Grenache, Blanc and Chardonnay and a whole mix of things. IGP, so it's a cheaper wine. So it's a, you know, Vin de Pays style of wine. Narbonne's down in the south of France in the Languedoc region. And it was just super refreshing. We haven't had a really hot summer, but we had a run of a few days and I had been drinking sort of light reds, so sort of Sangiovese-ish styles of wines. And I remember sitting outside just thinking, I need something super fresh. So I plunged it in the freezer, which I know you're not supposed to do. Is that little snorts from Billy?
Yeah, she's snorting.
So plunged in the freezer, absolutely delicious. Prince Wine Store, can't remember, but I'm going to say, oh, hang on, $25.
Nice. Wait, and it was good?
It was really good.
We love
that. Just super fresh and a little bit of oily texture.
I love oily texture.
A wine that, I hate to say this, you could almost plop an ice cube in it.
You did not.
I did. I didn't because I threw it in the freezer to get it cold. But and just drinking that, we discussed this, I think, last year, these IGPs, these cheaper regions, these sort of weird-ass blends. They don't mention what they are. They throw anything in, anything that's grown in the region. I just think they're interesting, and that's another thing that I wonder if our warmer regions could do something like that. So don't name a variety.
Yep.
Like, let's throw some Muscat.
I love it, but you're going to have a hard time convincing the Australian consumer.
Riverland White.
Yeah, you're going to have a hard time. Yeah, I would not pick up Riverland White. I knew what was in
would
it.
Would you pick up a Rivage Blanc IGP Coteau du Narbonne? You'd be going, well, that's too many words that I can't pronounce.
This is true.
So, yeah, Riverland Blanc, bloody way to go, mate.
Jesus.
I'm a marketing genius. Anyway, that's what I've been drinking. It was very, very lovely.
And fun fact.
My fun fact. Again, I'm not sure. there was a study done by the some Chinese Bureau of Meteorology talking about, you know, we've had La Nina, so this is a Southern Pacific Ocean Oscillation weather pattern.
Yeah.
So it affects us in the Southern Pacific, and we were expecting El Nino's hot and dry, La Nina's wet and cool.
Yes.
In our summers. And it's all based on the surface temperature of the ocean, depending on how dry El Nino will be. And they think that this next El Nino, which is coming on in, is going to be the driest and hottest.
Okay. They've seen. But I mean, they did say that about this summer as well.
I know. La Nina has dragged her tail. And my husband says every year, it's going to be the hottest bloody year on record and we're going to have fires. The reason I mentioned this, there was then a follow-on in this article about how that's going to impact grape growing. We're lucky we've got dams full of water.
Yeah.
So we've got some water for spades.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, with the whole El Nino, La Nina phenomenon where they said El Nino was coming, farmers destocked their farms because they thought they would be in a, you know, for cattle. Jesus. And then they were scrambling to buy cattle. Don't listen to the weather. We know in Melbourne we never listen to the Bureau of Meteorology. It's just like, yeah, whatever. It's just a kind of rule of thumb. It's not an absolute.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's my fun fact.
Love it. Etna. Let's get into Etna.
Okay. So Etna, it is a specific DOC within Sicily, the island, off volcanic soils.
Yes.
On the side of Mount Etna. Now,
it's like an actual volcano, right?
It's an active volcano.
It's active.
It's an active volcano.
What does that mean? Like, it's not actually going to explode, is it?
Possibly.
What?
Yes, possibly. Okay. So they live in fear every day.
Oh, goody.
Well, that's why they say the Sicilians live such great lives, because they just never know where it's going to end. So they just, you know, live each day as if it's your last.
That's really poetic. I love it.
So there's two wines.
Yes.
There's a white, there's Etna Bianco, and there's Etna Rosso. So very, very simple. The white is made from Cardacante grapes, 100% indigenous grape variety to Sicily. The red is made from Nerolo Mescalese, 100%. They can add another grape variety in. Oh, God, I can't remember the name. It's a really bizarre name. It starts with C. I'll remember it as we go along.
Okay.
But both of the wines that I've got here are Nerolo Mescalese, 100%
And I don't think you have to be fluent in Italian to join the dots that Etna Bianco is white and Etna Rosso is red.
Oh, sorry. Yes. So we have the same producer, Caranco, and two wines, the Etna Bianco Villa de Boroni, which is $60 from Dan Murphy's 2021, versus the same producer, Caranco, Etna Bianco, Contrada Caranco. So this is a smaller plot. It's like a named single vineyard.
Yes.
Equivalent. This is $99.99, $100. So we're not drinking.
Okay, sorry. The first one is more regional and then the second one is single vineyard.
Yes.
Got you. Okay.
And then we repeat that for our reds. So we have Caranco, Etna Caranco with my best Australian accent. With Etna Rosso Villa de Boroni 2018. That's $60 versus the Contrada Caranco single vineyard, smaller plot, at $139.99.
And it's all the same
grape variety.
Vineyard. A winery producer.
Same producer.
Yeah.
I'm really keen to see what the difference is.
Yes.
So, you're literally doubling the price pretty much of their entry level at $60.
$60 must be nice.
So, Cardacante on the whites for me is a very floral mineral. They say that you can almost taste the volcanic ash in the wine, as we know that minerality is not absorbed into vines. But anyway, there's a lot of romance. They say that because when it does rain, some of that ash gets onto the leaves, some of that minerality goes through into the leaves and is translocated.
Is that real?
No, there's a whole heap of romance about it. but these are very distinctly volcanic.
Wait, because could you can't get flavour through the leaves, right? Like through the outside of the leaves.
And we know that the thing that causes minerality is not translocated and it's not absorbed through the roots.
Yeah.
But it is a high acid for a hot region, no water, low vigour.
Yeah.
Vine. So it retains its acidity, it retains its freshness. It's got this sort of mineral honeysuckle character to it. I love it. Great food wine. These are not cheap. The reason they're not cheap is because the production is so low. That's little Billy. What do you think, Miss Billy?
I think she's into it. Mm. So what do you expect? Before we even go into it, what should we expect from an Etna?
No oak. Beautiful acidity that makes my mouth water.
Mm-hmm.
Whetstone, a honeysuckle, lemon pith. It sounds all very sort of neutral grape varieties, but it has this, I don't know, it is distinctly Etna.
Yeah.
I think it's the minerality, the pithiness. I get sometimes a slight like almond. Have you ever smelled
almond
essence that you put?
Jeez.
Yeah, I know.
You're stretching me.
Marzipan. But everyone hates marzipan, so I hate using that word. No one likes marzipan because that marzipan icing that's on cakes. But it does have this almondiness about it.
There's, it's along that almond line I get it's like a clay. It's a stupid descriptor, but it's almost like what I imagine clay would taste like if you ate it.
Yeah.
And a really different kind of citrus. Like it's not, I wouldn't call it lemon or lime.
Mandarin?
Even though, I don't know. It's probably something exotic from Thailand that I've never tasted. Maybe like an yuzu or something, but it's a really interesting citrus.
Sorry, I'm just distracted by little Bugsy. She's so
making
beautiful.
Lots of noises.
She is. Anyway, the wines, amazing. $60. I know it's a lot of money, people.
Yeah.
They're all under cork. It is a lot of money, but it is. It's a surprise. Win friends and influence people. One.
You know what? I would say this is a take it out of the fridge 20 minutes before you want to drink it one. Like I think it's a little too cold.
Okay, so this was in our beer fridge, which is set at super cold in summer. But that has, I left home at, I pulled these out at 7:30. It's now 9:55. So it's had.
Were they in my fridge?
No.
Oh. Wow.
That's our beer fridge is
that cold.
It is super cold. It's crazy.
See,
cold.
Even just in the glass, it's every time I have a sip, it's coming to life a little bit more.
Yeah, it's my only complaint.
Ooh.
The bottle is ridiculously heavy.
Come on, it's $60 bottle. You're
Who cares?
Still not. Yeah.
If climate change happens, you guys are fucked. Let's do something about climate change by reducing our bottle weight.
Yeah, this is true.
Mm.
This is true. You're the first ones to go, Etna.
As my mum used to say, God helps those that help themselves.
Yeah.
Not that she is ever a religious woman, but the bottle weight. But look, there are new kids on the block. They don't have, there's not huge production. Mm. But I'm really keen to see what the difference is with when we're doubling the price of the wine.
Yeah. My God, that is
beautiful.
Just so delicious. Oh, yum.
Shame I have things to do this afternoon. I would just happily sit here and...
Yeah, look.
I can't see how much I've poured. Is that enough?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So the first thing I noticed...
Money.
The first one was a 2021. The second one is a 2020. So we've got some bottle age. Maybe they release it with some bottle age on it.
Yeah.
That could be part of the...
Who knows, though, if it's getting sent to, especially if it's getting exported. And
it's that price.
It might not be popular in Dan's. It might have been on the shelf.
Yeah, we don't know. Oh, okay. So it's way more savoury, almondy.
I'm actually not getting much comparatively. Like,
oh.
It's you have to search a bit more on the nose. It's not as lifted.
Mandarin.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, I hate to say this. That is slightly oxidized.
Mm.
Maybe we have a bad bottle. Should I take it back and get another one?
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems really developed. Well, it's a 3.5-year-old. Well, it's 3 years, really. Mm. 3-year-old wine. It just seems super developed for that style of wine. The other Villa de Baroni was much fresher.
Yeah.
And much more delicious, I thought. And much more what I expect from Etna Bianco. Maybe this vineyard has more exposure, lower yields, but it does feel slightly oxidized. There's a new Gary character showing development in the wine that I wouldn't expect. That said, haven't really done many vertical wine tastings
of Etna.
Etna Bianco. Bianco. Well, I can't say, oh, it's a little bit reminiscent of the 95. Don't know.
It is Nugari, actually. So, but is it, how do you know that that's not just like intentional? Yeah, so you don't know.
I don't.
Because it is faint enough that I was like thinking it could be intentional.
I'm wondering if this has gone into old barrels, maybe?
Mm.
Here we go.
You know what? I quite like it still. The texture, I reckon it has been in old barrels. I think you're right because that's got a more interesting texture. It has that oiliness that we've talked about.
So, yeah, this is $100. It was produced from local variety Carricante, the vine age being from 50 to 60 years.
Jesus.
The resultant wine boasts complex aromas of citrus, green apple and peach, while the palate has a sustained intensity and attack aided by the crunchy minerality and powerful fruit flavours. Okay.
When was Phylloxera through Italy?
1870s, 1880s.
Right, okay.
Like the rest of Europe. Has Sicily had Phylloxera?
I don't know. I was just thinking that. Can it get all the way to a volcanic garden?
Phylloxera doesn't like sandy soil, so you can grow own rooted vines. Again, we digress.
Well, I mean, I was just wondering about the age of the vineyards.
50 to 60 is nothing. That's my age, but
so old.
I think your comment that too cold, and it needs possibly to open up. It's one of those wines that's a little bit closed. It's interesting.
You know what? The more I drink it, the more I like it. Okay. And the more it warms up, the more it opens up. And I'm actually really warming to it.
I think I just prefer the freshness of the first one.
Okay. This sounds weird, but there's like something cheesy on the nose, which I'm kind of enjoying. It's like a dairy.
You know what it smells like?
Why?
You know those cheese sticks?
Yes, it does. When you pull open.
It's cheesy, but it's not even quality cheese. And I don't even know if that is cheese. Is it?
I wonder what it is. Looks like plastic.
Yeah.
You know what? I like that. That's quite yummy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
She's breathing really loud. We're doing a podcast.
Doesn't matter. She can stay in there as much as you like. She's so beautiful. Okay. We better move on to the other one because she has got to get her vaccines done today.
She does.
Mm. Bottom line, difference.
Yeah.
One has more development.
Yeah.
One has more savoury, cheesy, leasy character. Mm-hmm. It may have been aged on lees from an older vineyard. One is super fresh, classic Etna Bianco.
They're so different.
One shows more development, more nougat, and they are two very, very different wines. So comparing them, which is better, is different because it's hard because they are so
completely down to personal choice. Exactly. They're completely different styles. Yeah.
So let's see if we can do it in the red again. Very heavy bottles. Okay, Villa de Baroni, Villa de Baroni, 2018, Etna Rosso, 100% Nerello Mascalese, $60. It looks like Barolo.
It looks exactly like Barolo. I love that, like, rusty garnet
colour. Yeah, that
colour.
Real tawny.
It's, like, almost got that orange tinge to it. It's such a great colour.
Oh, my God.
It does. It looks like a Barolo.
That is beautiful.
Oh, my God, it smells so good.
This is not a fruity wine. There's smokiness, there's charcoal. And I'm going to sound like such a wanker here. I almost can smell volcanic ash. Like I imagine walking up the side of the thing and the ash coming up. Like cinders.
Yeah.
But without that acridness.
You are a wanker, but it's so true. I always get like
a bit of sour cherry.
I always get like a roasted tomato type smell in wines like this.
Well, sun-dried tomatoes are coming back.
Coming back? Where were they?
They were in the 90s, darling. They were stuck in the 90s.
I didn't know we ever lost them.
But, yeah, no, they're coming back. We're putting them in the pairing method this year.
Oh, really? Oh, I have to come this year.
Switching it up this year. Making some changes.
This is like the word rustic comes to mind.
Oh, see, I have negative connotations to that word.
Do you? How come?
I don't know. It's when people talk about rustic wines, I imagine out of balance tannins. A savouriness for me is probably the word that I would prefer to use to describe it rather than rustic.
That's really interesting. Rustic wines for me are like this, but that savouriness is very true.
Well, there's lots of black cherry, cherry lolly. I like that. It needs
spice,
food.
Like baking spice.
Tannins are Nebbiolo-esque.
Yes, they're completely Nebbiolo-esque.
I don't know how.
So when would you buy this over in Nebbiolo then? Like, would you just buy Nebbiolo? Like,
$60.
Yeah.
Yeah,
true.
It's not as good as a Barolo, but Barolo is going to cost me more than $100. I would drink a Nebbiolo De Langhi, which sits around this price point, $45 to $60, possibly over. I just think, again, food, you know, I love food. This just needs something. Oh, yeah. This is kind of a crowd pleaser because there's nothing, and this might sound like an insult, but there's nothing overt about it.
Mm.
It's a very subtle, lovely, savoury red wine with great tannin structure that just needs something.
It's beautiful. It is so lovely. Beautiful.
And it's 2018, so it's got a bit of age on it.
Ultimate savoury wine. Yum. Mm.
Nice.
That's like a don't want to spit it out one.
Yeah, I just swallowed that.
Yeah, it's 10 a.m.
It's all right. I'm a wine professional.
We can because we're wine professionals.
No, but we have been spitting.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, that's how we knew that Mel was pregnant when her spittoon was absolutely full and Pete called it, not me. He went, what the hell's going on with Mel's spittoon? I'm like, oh, I don't know. She's pregnant. And I'm like, and then a week later, Mel comes up and goes, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, I told you quite early on because I was so sick and Tom had to drive me to your house to do the podcast.
But yeah, Pete had pulled it.
He'd already called it.
Called it. He has had experience with a pregnant woman before, yes. A crazy pregnant woman too. Anyway, now we're moving to the same as the white wine. So it's Carranco Etno Rioso DOC Contrada Carranco, which is this smaller plot of vineyards from 50 to 60-year-old vines.
Yeah.
2019, 100% Nerolo Mascalese grape variety.
Okay.
Again, very, very heavy. And this is a whopping $139.99. So, Mel, you're drinking well tonight.
Ooh.
Oh, see, I prefer that nose. Maybe it's the difference in the years. It's got more of that violet, fresh licorice lift to it.
I maybe prefer the other nose.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We have clear favourites in both of these.
And they're...
In the reverse, I liked the more expensive of the whites. So far, let me taste the red. But, yeah, so far I liked the nose better.
I love that. I love it.
I mean, it's seamless.
Absolutely.
Faultless. It's perfect.
It is perfect. But, man, it
needs
something.
And we do not say that about wines very often.
I do.
Do you?
No.
Oh.
No, that is, look, it's $140, so it's not perfect. that is a lot of money to spend. But if you do want a great example of the great variety, the region, and just the pure finesse and seamlessness of these wines and why they have a bit of a cult following now, this is going with your mates, you know, put in $30 each.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
This is what I noticed. This is my takeaway. The best wines of the world and the best wines that we taste, every wine we smell and we taste and we go, ooh, cherry or ooh, lemon or whatever. But when we taste one of those like rare, amazing wines, we just taste it and we don't go to flavour descriptors.
We're kind of speechless.
We go to just that's what it is. It's perfect. It's
not helpful people, like sorry.
Yeah, right. I mean, we can dissect it, but I think it's interesting that the completedness is what's interesting about it, not a specific flavour.
And that's it plays into that wine commentary.
Yeah.
Because we do this for a living. We comment on wine, we describe them, but this is just like, just drink it.
Yes.
It is so, it's such good. A pleasurable experience, and that's what wine should be about. It should not be a carapace of spiky tannins, to quote a recent review.
I was reading a review the other day. I wanted to know what some of the most amazing wines of the world. So I was looking up like old Burgundies and stuff, and I was looking up like very famous wine critics and what they had to say about it. And they were like, not as acidic as the 95 and stuff. And I was like,
helpful.
That's not helpful. I don't know what the 95 tastes like. Like, what?
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I want to know what it tastes like and you're giving me nothing.
Oh, that was one of my fun facts, but I'll do that next week.
Save it.
Yeah, just with DRC, like Janice Robinson's sidekick did the 21 DRC review. Well, great, but they're talking to...
Explain DRC.
Domaine Romani Conti, the most expensive wine in the world, Burgundy. They're talking to what? Of the population of the world that would have tasted it or drunk it or could afford to buy it, you're talking 0.00005%.
Yes.
It's nothing.
Talking
I have had DRC twice in my life.
Nice. Worth it?
It was lovely, but it's £5,000 a bottle. No.
Yeah.
I would rather drink that any day from Sunday. Oh, do we need a cloth?
We have vomit.
Tom.
Okay, we're back without a vomity baby.
Yep, all good. Delicious. Look, in terms of fruit profile, there is that minerality, that savouriness, black olive, olive tapenade. I get some of your tomato stem character, sun-dried tomatoes, cherry, but it's neither cooked nor confected. Yeah. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
This is going to be wanky. Bruised cherry. But dark cherry. You know, I don't know, when we get cherries and they come out in cherry season, I always pick the really black ones out. I don't like the red ones.
Really?
Yeah, I always go for the dark ones.
You are weird. Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, my God. But it is almost indescribable.
It is, and this is what Dan Buckle says, the Shandong winemaker. He said the best wines of the world, their tasting notes should run or could run over multiple pages. Like it's not the kind of thing that you can just describe in a few words. They should be able to take you a place that you can just – so indescribable that you're using so many words to try and sum it up.
Or the opposite, leave you speechless.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Which in and of itself is fantastic because we've discussed this, we are translating a sensation, taste and flavour into words. Very much like we're describing art, a visual medium, into words.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Just drink it. I know it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
But it's a special treat wine. If it's your birthday coming up, ask for a bottle of this.
Yeah.
You don't need anything else.
Great. That's so true.
New TV. Get this.
Okay. Love it. Well, we are done for the week and we'll be back next week. Next week we do have another wine news episode. So we look forward to seeing you then. And until then, enjoy your next glass of wine.
Drink well.